I do have to say that there is a cultural value in statistics, which is like correctness, right? So like if you read something in a good statistics journal, like the authors claim that something is true, then it's just true, right? Like, I mean, like nobody ever publishes like wrong or misleading results, right? Whereas, you know, like machine learning venues right now, I'd say like maybe more than half the time you try and reproduce like a paper published in a top machine learning venue, it will just turn out to be like fundamentally broken.
This is Alter Everything, a podcast about data science and analytics culture. Today, in a slightly different format from our regular podcast episodes, we're featuring the insights of two statistics postdocs, Victor Veach and Ian Carmichael, as we explore the statistical origins of data science and the divisions and approaches to modeling. Alteryx Senior Community Content Engineer Sydney Furman will be walking me through this journey. She's well-versed in data science and stats, so stick with us. She's a great tour guide.
Okay, so there's a famous article from the 60s, I believe the 60s, from John Tukey called The Future of Data Analysis. And in that article, I think that's one of the first examples of this like pushback against you know, maybe academic statistics focus on certain things, sort of particularly certain areas of mathematical statistics and maybe also hypothesis testing.
That was Ian Carmichael, a recent PhD recipient in statistics, now working on a National Science Foundation project at the University of Washington. The paper he's referring to was published in 1962. It's 67 pages long, and it's pretty dense, but it's an important paper for understanding the history of data science and how it's related to statistics. Maddie, can you read the first line from the paper?
For a long time, I have thought I was a statistician, interested in inferences from the particular to the general. But as I have watched mathematical statistics evolve, I have had cause to wonder and to doubt.
So that's John Tukey, and he was a big deal statistician, is a big deal statistician. And in this paper, he pretty much comes out and makes this public confession to the field of statistics that he thought the research going on within the field was too narrow, possibly useless, and potentially harmful, and that the scope needed to be redirected and broadened in order for the field to stay relevant. So in a lot of ways, he pretty much prophesied the rise of something he called data analysis, which is effectively what we call data science today. And something else that was interesting is that he felt that this new field would fall under the umbrella of sciences as opposed to mathematics.
So really the upshot is he was saying like, hey, statistics, we're, you know, we do all this stuff, you know, we do things like exploratory analysis, but we really focus on, you know, these three areas, but maybe we should put a little bit more focus on these seven other areas that we've been kind of ignoring or, you know, underappreciating. And I think that's really sort of like the data science, I guess maybe we can call it a movement, is sort of a reaction to things where, you know, people or a field sort of underappreciate something. And, you know, data science at various or people who are sort of calling for data science at various points will come in and say, hey, you know what, there's this stuff that's really valuable and you're underappreciating. We should do more of that.
So in his paper, Tukey is effectively identifying 4 points or driving forces that ultimately define this new science of data analysis. Statistical theory is one. Developments in computers is two. Handling large bodies of data is three. And a new emphasis on quantification in a wider variety of disciplines is four. And thinking about that, this paper came out half a century ago, that's pretty on point for what data science is now. It's a lot about processing large data sets. Quantification has become important in industry and a lot of kind of diverse fields. We're seeing more disciplines like computational biology or computational geography kind of rising in academia. And so papers along this line have continued to be written and published in statistical journals for the past 50-some years, but they're definitely the minority, and Tukey's paper is definitely the one kicking it off. And what's funny about these warnings and calls for action to move statistics away from traditional theory, hypothesis tests, stuff like that, to more applied data analytics is that they were outliers. For the most part, it felt like in the broad tent of statistics, or at least the public-facing side of academic statistics, was pretty unresponsive to these calls to action for a long time and more or less stayed on the course it had been.
You know, people have been using data and quantitative methods for probably hundreds or maybe even thousands of years. You know, the discipline of statistics as we know it, I think, probably developed in the early 1900s. It sort of came out of this problem where people were using data to try to solve scientific problems and not getting very reliable answers. People started to think a little bit more carefully, like, how do we design experiments effectively? What kinds of statistical analyses are reliable? They were focusing, probably a lot more on, the sort of simple problems that we, or today we would view as simple problems that you probably learn in a stats 101 class, things like, if I add this fertilizer, do I get a higher crop yield? To pick the very simple example.
Oh, fertilizer. That's an interesting example.
Yeah, it's not a random one. An early example of statistical analysis comes from Ronald Fisher working on controlling the effects of inorganic fertilizer at the Rothamsted Research Station, which, fun fact, is still in operation. It's about as classical statistics as you can get, and it's pretty indicative of where classical statistics is at its heart. Statistics is a mathematical field driven to support scientific inquiry.
Over over time, I think the problems started to get more and more complex. People started to develop more sophisticated tools and methodology. That's how I've sort of come to view statistics as a service discipline to people who solve problems with data.
Sunny, tell me more about this service discipline that he's referring to.
I think that viewing statistics as a service discipline is a really interesting perspective. It kind of transcends the whole statistics as a math or statistics as a science dichotomy. It instead describes it as a field used to make scientific analysis meaningful, to support the scientific method using math and science.
If in academic statistics, the incentive is just to create new methods, for the sake of creating new methods, but that's, that can be somewhat orthogonal to actually providing value to someone.
Sydney, orthogonal?
Yeah, orthogonal, I recently learned, is math speak for perpendicular. It's a more precise way of saying perpendicular, so it's not too much to worry about there.
And I think if you sort of view yourself as a service discipline to providing value to someone, I think that refocuses your incentives and your priorities.
I think this does effectively sum up the problem that Tukey and other statisticians have had with classical statistics, though. If statistics is a service discipline, it matters entirely who you're serving, and that's how statistics stays relevant, or doesn't, and opens up space for data science.
So I think statistics is, of course, just the science of learning things from data. Right, so that's uncontroversial.
That was Victor Veitch. He is another recent PhD recipient in statistics and is now a postdoctoral researcher at Columbia University.
But I do think there's this interesting distinction between, classical statistics, which is the statistics which is, mostly taught in undergraduate courses, like the sort of general principle of learning from data. And that distinction is that classical statistics is very model-based, right? Like it fundamentally relies on, writing down some story about how we think the data that we saw was generated, and then saying, oh, well, if our story is true, like what parameters will like best explain the data, right? So it's like I write down a model, I commit myself to believing in that model, and then I sort of say, well, if I believe in that commitment, that assumption that I've made, then what is the best I can do, right? And you know, certainly like when I was learning statistics in undergrad, and even at the beginning of grad school, I had the impression that that's like really what statistics was about. And you know, my view has certainly shifted since then to say, oh yeah, like in fact, that's a particular approach that we very frequently take, but it's not at all like a necessary one. So in terms of how this relates to how I perceive data science, I think, you know, the difference between statistics and data science is really the difference between like classical statistics and data science. And I think it's really around these parametric assumptions or this idea that, you know, data science doesn't write down a model and say, this is how the world actually is. Right, if you fit like a random forest or a neural network or whatever else, like you are making some kind of assumption, but the assumption is definitely not about like how the world actually operates.
So what Victor is saying here is related to another paper that gets referenced a lot when talking about the origins of data science. This paper was published in 2001 by Leo Breeman. And if the name sounds familiar, it's because Leo Breeman is the statistician that came up with the random forest algorithm. The paper is called Statistical Modeling, the Two Cultures. And it's pretty much Breeman calling out what he sees as an important divide in statistics. Two separate cultures that take different approaches to modeling data. The first culture is the traditional or classical statistics approach, where we assume that data are generated by a process with a randomized component, but a process we know or can learn the general shape of. These models are the linear regressions of the world. We make an assumption about how the variables in the data set are related to each other or about the population the data was drawn from. And we use those assumptions to understand relationships and make conclusions. This modeling culture is by far the majority in statistics. And in Breeman's eyes, this disproportionate focus on one type of data modeling has caused the field to suffer. His criticisms are actually really similar to Tukey's. Irrelevant theory, questionable conclusions, and just generally uninteresting work. The second culture, the one Breeman feels he belongs to and the one he also feels is the minority in statistics, is algorithmic modeling. These are more of the black box models, like random forest or boosting or neural networks. These types of models aren't so concerned with the process that's generating the data. They're focused on getting the most accurate predictions possible. And although they tend to be more accurate in their estimates of a data set, they also tend to be a lot harder to interpret. These are the models whose primary function is to predict instead of trying to explain. All this is touching on a trade-off that a lot of data scientists have to deal with today, known as interpretability versus accuracy.
I think historically statistics has undervalued prediction. I mean, statistics has, of course, always done predictive problems. For example, in the famous Leo Breeman Two Cultures paper, that paper is really all about, hey, statistics, you should care about predictive problems a lot more. And if you're going to solve predictive problems, there's all sorts of methods like support vector machine and decision trees that are really, really good at solving predictive problems that statistics is kind of undervalued. And so that's the kind of his point, a big point in that paper. There's a discussion in the end of that paper, and Bradley Efron, who's a very famous and amazing statistician, makes 3 points, two of which I think are sort of incredibly fundamental to modern machine learning, sort of about like how do you assess machine learning systems. If you look in the rejoinder, it's like rule one and rule two. Then he makes a third point, essentially saying, yeah, prediction is important, but its importance is sort of limited. And I think that was sort of statistics, maybe fundamental oversight or one in the early 2000s was kind of undervaluing how important predictive problems are. Sort of the rise of artificial intelligence and machine learning recently, one could kind of summarize as predictive modeling is really powerful.
So Sydney, it sounds like there's this rivalry building between Breeman and Efron.
It's a fundamental difference in values and opinions on what good or interesting statistical models look like. But this paper is it is interesting and it's kind of funny because it's published at first with just Leo's original paper and then it gets republished with responses from other famous statisticians in the field, one of which is Brad Efron. And then Leo Breman gets an opportunity to respond to their comments. And so it kind of turns into this academic rap battle where you have Breman going, hey, these models that we've been using for a long time are lame. Check out all these other models that are really effective. And Efron's like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, are you sure that this is a good choice? And so they go back and forth for a total of three separate kind of...
Like three showdowns.
Yeah, exactly. Three showdowns. So there's the original paper, the retort, and then like the final comeback. And they're obviously very respectful and cordial, and I think they do respect one another's works, but it's just this fundamental disagreement on what makes, maybe not fundamental, but this kind of deep set disagreement on what good statistical models look like.
So I think statistics and machine learning sort of talk past each other a little bit, and I think that's because in machine learning, people are really focused on these predictive problems, and in statistics, we're much more focused on these inferential problems.
When Ian talks about talking past each other, statistics and machine learning, I think this can be clarified and built upon by reading a section from a paper he published last year called Statistics and Data Science, Two Cultures. Maddie, would you mind reading the excerpt?
A computer scientist might pejoratively describe a linear or logistic regression as shallow and quaint. A statistician might express bewilderment at the buzz around deep learning and question why a more principled and interpretable statistical model doesn't do the trick. The point here is that these two imaginary academics are thinking about problems with different goals. The computer scientist is trying to build a system to accomplish a given task. The statistician is typically trying to learn something about how the world works.
Right, and so that's that split between an engineering perspective and, I think, engineering goals, where you're trying to make something work and have it give the best possible answers that you can, mm-hmm. as opposed to a scientist who's maybe trying to understand why.
So with this rise towards a culture that's, you know, getting more and more excited about machine learning, what other factors have played a role in popularizing these practices?
Yeah, so I think just the availability and capabilities of computers have definitely been a contributory factor in the rise of the machine learning or algorithmic modeling culture that Breman's mm-hmm. referring to.
A lot of classical statistics was developed in an era where compute was very limited. And so the set of models that we used were things for which there were like very efficient computational tricks, right? So I mean, like a really classical example is like linear regression, right? Like a major reason that we use linear regression for 100 years is just that like it's extremely, extremely efficient to solve the computational problem that you need there. But even like apparently more advanced things like exponential family models, for example, which I think most people might know under the heading of generalized linear models. Again, these are things which are much more motivated by their computational tractability than they are by their like intrinsic statistical importance or like their, you know, like how good of a model they actually provide. So one influence from engineering is basically saying, well, write down the model you actually want, and then we'll figure out how to actually fit it. Like we'll solve the computational problem implied by the statistical problem instead of like restricting ourselves to the models that we can, that we can like solve computationally in practice. So of course, like data science certainly feels that influence, right? Like it's in some sense, like we've been liberated by just having much more sophisticated computational tools at our disposal.
So it sounds like Victor has a different idea regarding the differences between data science and statistics.
Yeah, I think that in Victor's eyes, the differences between data science and statistics are more stylistic than they are substantial differences that would cause you to consider statistics and data science two different disciplines.
So here's an important aesthetic difference between statistics and data science, which is the aesthetics of statistics are you have like very clearly articulated precise assumptions, and then you try and prove something with those assumptions, right? So you really say, this is exactly what I believe, and if you believe that as well, then here is exactly the result. And the aesthetics of data science are a lot fuzzier, right? They tend to be things like, well, if I fit a neural network to this, I'll get a pretty good predictor. And so in that sense, I mean, of course, it is a thing where in data science, you know, we kind of habitually sweep whatever assumptions we're making under the rug, right? Like, I think it's very rare to see things like explicitly articulated. But I'm not sure that it's generally problematic. Right. So one issue is that like the things that you can do formally with like very concretely articulated assumptions, like that's a very restrictive setting to work in. Right. And, you know, my feeling is like even if you don't have like formal results or you haven't said exactly, you know, what assumptions you're making, if you do like, you know, a very good empirical study, or you have some just sort of like empirical argument for why what you're doing like works and is appropriate, that can be like a totally satisfactory substitute. So I think indeed the assumptions like the articulation of assumptions is like routinely neglected, but I'm not really sure that's like a major issue.
What Victor is saying here is that one of the major differences between statistics and data science is how each group has decided to handle assumptions going into modeling.
I think statistics has historically been much more strongly rooted in rigor and mathematics, right? So you see a lot of results in statistics talks or statistics journals, which involve like, you know, very precise guarantees about what a method will do, like very clearly articulated assumptions, and maybe some like deep theoretical analysis, which is much less common in data science, right? Like it's just not like part of the discipline in the same way. And I mean, also particularly like a flavor of assumption, which is popular in statistics, is you write down a generative model for the data. And then you say, assuming that my data was generated in this fashion, like what will happen under my inference procedure, right? So you make an assumption about where the data actually came from. And in data science, I think like assumptions like that are very, very rare. Right. So that is like a remaining like aesthetic distinction.
This next part will sound familiar because this is what we started the episode with.
I do have to say that there is a cultural value in statistics, which is like correctness. Right. So like if you read something in a good statistics journal, like the authors claim that something is true, then it's just true. Right. Like nobody ever publishes like wrong or misleading results. Right. Whereas, you know, like machine learning venues right now, I'd say like maybe more than half the time you try and reproduce like a paper published in a top machine learning venue, it will just turn out to be like fundamentally broken. Right. And so I don't know that like mathematical rigor is the right answer to this, but like certainly, you know, like the part, like one part of the aesthetics of statistics that I really appreciate is like if you say something is true, it has to be true.
I think what's important here is that Victor does see value in both of these approaches. Like, there's value in the more engineering-minded approach, where you just want to get the problem solved, as well as in the scientific approach, where you're trying to account for assumptions completely. With these differences and values and perspectives between the two modeling cultures that make up data science today, as well as the influences that come from other traditional academic fields, the question might become, who should be teaching data science and what should be taught?
Let's check back in with Ian.
As to the what that should be taught, you know, that's an open question that we're working on, that or, you know, the whole discipline is working on right now. You know, it's some combination of core computational tools, core algorithmic skills, some mathematical concepts, and of course some statistical concepts.
Ian put together a data science curriculum for the University of North Carolina, which is where he did his doctorate. And this is something he had particularly close insight on.
You know, if I were to design like a 6-core like course built out of courses that kind of exist right now, I would say something like, an intro to programming course, a data structures and algorithms course from computer science, for math, linear algebra, and probability, although maybe that goes under statistics. A statistical, a sort of classical statistical modeling course, as well as maybe a more modern, machine learning course, and probably like some kind of capstone course, that brings it all together in some kind of, interesting project-based way.
So definitely interdisciplinary, though.
Definitely interdisciplinary. I think that's probably maybe one of the biggest changes going forward is the interdisciplinary nature. So it's not enough for statisticians to just teach undergrads, statistics tools. They also need to understand computer science tools. And then, of course, that brings the intersection of, the statistics tools and the computer science tools. That's one of the main challenges going forward is, how do we deal with, these intersections? Because if you're solving a problem, it needs to be statistically rigorous and you also need to be able to compute it. Teaching that intersection, I think, is something we're working on right now.
So what does Ian think that statistics has to offer to data science as an interdisciplinary field?
So we were talking about earlier, the sort of the way, statistics developed, historically developed was, people were trying to use data to answer questions, and people realized, okay, we need to be a little bit more rigorous about that. The sort of questions, in the 1900s are different than the questions we're trying to answer today. And if I could, phrase, what does statistics, what can the discipline of statistics like really contribute to modern data science? It'd be, just because an algorithm gives you an answer, it doesn't mean that answer is correct. Or I think that's maybe the more modern version of what, sort of statistics as a field has to uniquely contribute to data science.
And as for the fields contributing to data science going forward?
Historically rooted disciplines like statistics, computer science are going to stay their own discipline. I think probably going forward, the most important thing is, how we deal with these interactions and intersections. Creating environments where it's easier for computer scientists and statisticians and other people to collaborate. Educating people in stuff that's not their expertise. So, statisticians probably need to learn a little bit more computer science, things like that. I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
It seems like to a lot of statisticians, including Victor, when we talk about any of these areas of data science that seem maybe new, they're really just underserved or underappreciated areas of statistics. So maybe the future of data science, or even the present of data science, is statistics. This is Victor's perspective.
I think statistics and data science, yes, have more or less merged into be a single concept, right? And like maybe there are like aesthetic differences between the two areas, but like really they're just the same thing under two different names. And I think there is some push actually amongst statisticians to rebrand as data science. I mean, I certainly think it is like a common perspective amongst statisticians that data science is statistics, that it's just the same thing. I mean, I don't have good predictions for like exactly how branding will go in the future. But I would predict that the aesthetic differences between like data science and statistics, like in as much as these exist as two different areas, the differences are aesthetic. And my feeling is like that won't persist. So I think the two things will unify basically into like a single area done in a fairly like consistent way.
So because data science is growing in popularity, do people need to go back to school to start their career as a data scientist?
I think there are a lot of paths to becoming a data scientist. Here's Ian's thoughts on the matter.
I would guess that data science is one of the best disciplines out there in terms of free, quality educational resources. So when I was doing my PhD in statistics, you know, we weren't really taught, you know, things like R or the core data science, you know, data science computational schools. And so I, you know, taught myself all of those things using these online resources. And I would imagine, you know, most people who've, you know, at least gone through graduate school have similar stories. I think they're really, I think these resources are really amazing because they kind of democratize the subject. You know, they lower the barrier to entry. So, you know, I think they allow people who, you know, don't have a PhD or an undergrad in statistics to become data scientists. And I think that's really great. And they also, you know, just make it a lot cheaper for students to, you know, for people to learn this stuff. You know, you don't, you know, if you don't have to buy like several $100 textbooks, like that's awesome.
Sydney, thank you so much for walking us through this.
It's been my pleasure.
Statisticians. Academic, classical statisticians, sit down and listen. You're about to witness the power of algorithms. Linear regression is sucking us into a recession. Interpretability's dead. The gold standard is now prediction.
Please, you think because a method is new, it isn't bad. Everything about your big data movement is a fad. All you have is a glittering enigma, wrapped in a complex riddle. Nothing but a black box with lots of little knobs to twiddle.
I'll take a black box that delivers accurate answers on any question you can ask it. From genetics to cancer, over a transparent box we understand that's interpretable
with tractable math.
Yeah, too bad it doesn't work so good though.
Algorithms are just another kind of statistical inference. That's fine. You're advocating scientific ignorance. You're like the Wizard of Oz in a balloon floating over the earth. Come back. I can't. I don't know how it works.
Here's how it works. Data goes in, predictions emerge. Talk to Mark Zuckerberg if you really question its worth. Forget it. Stay bottled up in the college and data model. I'll solve problems. Drive an Audi and data model. Data science. We predict the outcome. And if you see it's working, there's no need to question how. Precise. How is it science if you can't explain your model designs? Data science, we don't want it basic. Life is complicated. The original black box is nature. Statisticians reveal how nature functions. All I need is a model with articulated assumptions.
Is that too much to ask from a data analyst? Show your work. That's basic practice, but they can't handle it. Move fast, break things, it just isn't right. Not at the expense of parsimony and scientific insight.
You got it backwards, Pop. Scientific progress is a step-by-step process from simple to complex. Quantum physics comes after Newtonian mechanics, and classic statisticians never discovered exoplanets.
You're the one with the model backwards, son. You got distracted.
We get results.
Yeah, with no thought for the causal factors. Tech investors keep earning, algorithms keep churning, but it's a shallow journey if only the machines learn.
We're learning, never doubt that. Data science is about facts, and if it catches mice, that makes it a better mousetrap. Statistics is either gonna get with artificial intelligence or it's gonna lose in the data battle for relevance.
Well, if that's your position, then I'm a converted mathematician. First, check if it works, and then unpack the algorithm with statistical methods. That's just more for us to perceive. Just don't lose sight of the random forest for the trees.
Data science, we predict the outcome. First, check if it's working, and then question how come. Statisticians, we want it precise. How is it science if you can't explain your model designs? Data science, we don't want it basic. Life is complicated. The original black box is nature. Statisticians reveal how nature functions. All I need is a model with articulated assumptions. Data science.